Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Oh, the blood of Jesus.
Oh, the blood
of Jesus.
It
washes white as snow.
We pray that our broadcast was a blessing to you. If you would like to have a copy of today's message on CD, please contact us at www.joydara.org or at our postal service at P.O. Box 6006, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71307. Or you can call us at 1-888-JOY-DARA. That's 1-888-563-3232. Again, that's 1-888-563-3232. Thank you for listening to today's broadcast. May God bless you and yours.
Yeah, stand for this, man. It's going to bless you. Here it is, verse 45. That's all I need. At noon, darkness fell on the whole land until 3 o'clock. About 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? Which translated really means, you grew up on King James, my God, why hast thou what? Forsaken me. That's what you grew up on. NLT, why have you abandoned me? 21st century remix, why have you rejected me? Daddy, father, my God, why have you rejected me? John 11, just one verse to help me tag the text. Verse 25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even when he dies. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. Why have you rejected me, Daddy? Then Jesus said, I am the resurrection. I want to conclude this series today titled, I'm feeling some kind of way. Here's the final message in the series, from rejection to resurrection. From rejection to resurrection. You can go ahead and be seated in the house of God. I began this teaching literally a month ago titled, I'm feeling some kind of way. I've been telling you for the entire time that this series was birthed out of the agitation of the congregation. I kept going from campus to campus, talking to person after person, asking them how they were feeling. I kept hearing this reoccurring response, Pastor, pray for your girl. I'm feeling some kind of way. For the final time, I'll tell you that it was this fresh contemporary colloquialism that catapulted me cognitively. And I started tripping theologically, asking myself, what if I did a series where I lifted up biblical characters who were feeling some kind of way, trying to prove out this holy hypothesis that even though God is real, that doesn't mean that I don't feel. Are y'all feeling me? And so we began with a sassy sister from Samaria who was wounded at a well. When Jesus got through with her, you couldn't even tell. She went running into the city saying, come see a man that fixed me on the inside. Come see a man that told me everything about me. From there, we shifted to a melancholy brother named Moses who had a stick and a stutter, abandoned by his mother, but ended up being a leader like no other and didn't even have no cover. Lean on somebody, say, Annie freestyle, and tell somebody right quick. Say, Annie freestyling. You talk about why I love my church, Annie freestyling. I'm just tripping. But I'm serious when I tell you, Moses, think about it, had a rod. He couldn't speak well. What's that? A stick and a stutter. Abandoned by his mother. Didn't have any cover. Became a leader like no other. But he suffered from low self-esteem. God said to him, I'm going to use you to free my people. He said, I can't even talk. I'm not even leadership material. God says, you're absolutely right, but I'm going to be with you. And if I'm with you, I'll make up for all your deficiencies. There's more in you than you know about. God's about to give you something you're not qualified for. Somebody ought to receive that by faith. Not only did Moses suffer from low self-esteem, he also had a kind of anger condition. Moses killed a brother one time, buried him in the desert. That's straight up. God told him, the people thirsty, speak to the rock and water will come out of it. Moses, so mad about their attitude problems, brother got frustrated. He was feeling some kind of way. Instead of speaking to the rock, he hit the rock. And God said, I didn't tell you to hit it. I told you to speak to it. Therefore, you don't get a chance to go into the promised land. I'm going to let your assistant pastor, young Joshua, take him into the promised land. You're going to miss it because of your anger. Lean on somebody and say, don't let your incredible hawk tendencies disqualify you. Go ahead. Push somebody else and say, don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Go ahead. Say, don't let the smooth taste fool you. I'll cut you. I'll cut you. I'll cut you. I'm saved, but I'll cut you. No, you won't. Because you're getting over your anger. And we talked about how some people have pushed a sister in the kitchen that he was married to, and she hit her head and died. He in jail the rest of his life. Or that anger came out on a child, or it comes out on people. It's a trip. Sometimes the people close to us get the worst of us. The people closest to us get the worst of us, while people the furthest from us get the best of us. Okay, that's for free. And then last week, we shifted to this particular Davidic psalm. Your boy David at the campuses is feeling depressed. You know, he's the cat that was a man after God's own heart, slew a giant with nothing but a rag and a rock, loved God so much that he worshiped until his clothes came off. But the brother liked women. All brothers, straight up brothers like women. All straight up brothers like women. But he liked women a little too much, so much so he found out that a sister was married, but he had so much power, he said, so what, bring her up to the palace anyway. Slept with that girl, she got pregnant. And because his husband, her husband wouldn't sleep with her because his boys was at war, and he said, if my boy's at war, I'm not sleeping with my wife. David ain't know what to do. David had the brother killed. So check this out. Here's a king, slept with a sister who's married to another brother, then had the brother killed and covered it up. Thank God it wasn't no social media then. Local pastor takes man's wife, has some cats from kinsmen kill him, and has now moved her into his mansion. Yeah, think about that, but you still read the 23rd Psalm that David wrote. What I'm trying to tell you, the best of us have some worse than us. And as we sneak into the circumference of our text, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Am I going to take one? No, I'm not. Am I going to take one who is known for perfection and use him as a heuristic device for rejection? Am I going to take he who is known for perfection and use him as a heuristic? Heuristic, a model, that's all. A model for rejection? Yeah. Today's message is about Jesus and how even Jesus felt rejected. Ooh, this is going to be so good. I want you to look with me right quick. First of all, let's define it. What is rejection? Let's keep it real. We've dealt with anger. We've dealt with low self-esteem. We've dealt with depression, anxiety, as it were. Here's another emotive response or another emotion, rejection. What is it? Let's define it. It's right there on the screen. Here's the definition. The dismissing or refusing of a proposal, idea, etc. That's one. You know, you business people, you had a business proposal, you say it got rejected. We tried to get the house, but they rejected our offer. That's a real kind of rejection, but let's key in on the second one. The spurning of a person's affection. Some people are reluctant, here's an example, to try it because they fear rejection. Some people are reluctant to try it. Some people are reluctant to hook up with another brother right now because they fear rejection. So emotively, that's the one I want to deal with. The feeling of being rejected or neglected, or somebody you wanted didn't want you back, or somebody who birthed you didn't raise you, or somebody in whom which you wanted to be connected, but rather you felt rejected. I love you so much, I even went to the Urban Dictionary. Some of you heard of that? The Real Ghetto Dictionary? You know, in the Urban Dictionary, people can just put whatever they want to put. You can just, seriously, Urban Dictionary, you can literally just put your own definition. I looked up a bunch of them. A lot of them had cussing in them, so I stayed away from them. Here's one, he almost cussed, but he didn't. here's what one brother says, something I've experienced my entire life and continue to experience until my late 20s today by women I've loved who want nothing to do with me for some reason. Those who have never experienced it cannot know the pain and emotional damage it causes. It makes you feel depressed, lonely, and like a worthless reject who would never amount to anything or find someone worthy to love or love you in return for who you are because you're not good enough. It's the worst and loneliest feeling a person could ever experience. So apparently Player got rejected by a woman or many women. That's his story. What's yours? His rejection stems from romance. Others, it's mama, it's daddy, it's a job, it's a church, it's something that made me feel rejected. This is a great class, by the way. Thank you for letting me be myself again. Peep this. Look at Matthew 26, verse 31, and let's look at it theologically. Then let's attempt to look at it psychologically. And if I do my job, maybe we can end sociologically. I know you can handle it. This is my smart class. On the way, Jesus told them, tonight, all of you going to desert me. Yeah, all of you are going to desert me. Peep this. Look right at me. Let me give you some quick context so you can respect the content. Jesus kicking it with the 12. You know the 12 guys. Some of them was thug life, tax collectors, fishermen. He raised them up and taught them how to be kingdom. He had kicked them with it for 3.5 years. He had kicked it with them for 3.5 years. They were his dudes, and they're at the Last Supper. They are situated geographically in the upper room. He's passing out the communion. You know that part. The bread and the wine, the Last Supper. He says, do this in remembrance of me. And in the middle of communion, he said, by the way, all of you going to desert me tonight. All of you going to desert me tonight. Is Jesus feeling some kind of way? He says, all of you going to reject me tonight. Peter jumped up and said, oh, no, I'm not. Oh, no, I'm not. You know Peter, the one that had a good heart, but had a tendency to put his foot right in his mouth. You need Peters around you. They're crazy, but they're real. Peter crazy. Peter meant well. Peter had a good heart. He just had bad flesh. He had a good heart. Sometimes his flesh wasn't as good as his heart, like most of us, but he had a good heart. He jumped up and looked at Jesus and said, don't you say that, man. I gave up everything for you, man. I'll never leave you. I don't know what these cats going to do, but I'm yours, brother. I'm with you. You changed my life. You changed my life. I ain't ever leaving you. Jesus said, Pete, you mean well, but tonight, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me 3 times. No, I'm not. Tonight. This night, you're going to deny me 3 times. Peter, like, man, he's crazy, man. I'll kill somebody for him. That's my man, please. He don't know me. I don't lead nobody I'm with. And Peter went out there, got to walking, and then everybody started trying to find the disciples so they could kill him. They was looking for Jesus to kill him, and they was looking. The mob was out there. Literally, you saw the Passion of Christ. The mob was out there, and Peter warming himself as it were by the fire. And somebody said, is that one of them cats with Jesus? This one of them, are you one of his boys? He said, no, I don't know him. And imagine how he felt when he played as Jesus. He walks on somebody else. Are you one of his? No, I don't know him. And somebody else saw him. The Bible says the third time Peter comes, hell no. Lean on somebody and say, that's why I like this church. He cussed a little bit, but not a lot. Like, that's Bible cussing. I like a little Bible cussing. Just a little Bible cussing. No, I'm serious. The Bible says he cussed. Hell no, I don't know. And the croc crowed. Can you imagine how Peter felt? I didn't let my Savior down. I know I felt that way before. So the first thing I want you to write down is the defection of rejection. Some of you, some people defected from you because of their rejection. The defection of rejection. People who you thought would have your back walked away. Who was it? A parent who raised you but then left you, who made you but did not raise you, a father who did not bother, a mother who won't cover, a wife who don't speak life, a husband who wasn't, I don't know. Many people in this room, someone defected, and even at 50, you feel it. At 40, you feel it. At 30, you feel it. The defection of rejection. That's cold-blooded. Let's walk through the text. I'm expositional. Verse 36, every campus, look at your Bible. You didn't come for the show. You came for the word. Verse 36, then Jesus went up to Gethsemane. He took Peter and the crew. And here's what he said. This Jesus talking, look at me downtown. My soul is crushed with grief. Grief recovery. My soul is crushed. Is this Jesus saying this? This must be Peter or David or Moses or the woman at the well or Pastor Vernon or somebody with human anthropological tendencies, right? No, this Jesus, he said what? My soul is crushed with grief. How much so? To the point of death. He says, I feel like I'm about to die mentally. I'm going through so much, I feel like I'm about to lose my life. I'm so overwhelmed mentally. Thank you, Jesus, because if you can be tripping, I know I can. Yeah, I'm not unsaved or unspiritual because every now and then I'll be feeling some kind of way. I'm not going to ever let the devil tell me that I'm not a believer or that I'm not his because my mind playing tricks on me. I'm not going to ever again let the devil deceive me into thinking that I'm some carnal saint who does not have the Holy Spirit because I'm feeling some kind of way. If Jesus can be feeling some kind of way, I grant you permission every now and then to feel some kind of way. You cannot always help how you feel, but you control what you do. Yeah, you can go get drunk or some revenge sex or eat something and now you're getting bigger and madder at how you look because you're trying to anesthetize your pain with cupcakes. Lean on a sister and say, he's talking to you. I like my shape. I like my shape. No, lean on a sister and say, he talking to you. I like my shape. He talking to you. He ain't talking to me. I don't eat that stuff. Praise God. My soul is crushed to the point of death. How many of you remember in the book of Luke, come on, Bible readers, when Jesus said this? Jesus, the Bible says Jesus starts sweating until sweat fell like what? Drops of blood. Anybody ever heard of that or read that? Literally, guess what? That's not metaphoric. That's literal. Here's a word, hematidrosis. Hematidrosis. Don't worry about spelling it. You'll never say it again. Hematidrosis. 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 It is a rare medical condition, but it's real. It is the idea that right by your sweat glands are blood capsules. I don't know if you know this. When one is up under extreme anguish, it rarely happens, but it can, they can bust. And all of a sudden, blood will mix with your sweat. Because the blood vessels burst because of overwhelming anguish or stress, and what's supposed to be sweat will be blood and sweat mixed together. Jesus is tripping so much that he is sweating blood. Pastor, where are you taking us? Someplace you need to go, so stick with me. He said, my soul is crushed. I'm in anger. I'm grieving. This God, by the way, he's in a bad place. Hematidrosis. This is so good. So much so. Maybe this is why Isaiah, the eagle-eyed prophet, said he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Isaiah 53. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He is despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has carried our sorrows, but yet we did esteem him smitten, stricken of God, and afflicted. Peep this, but he was wounded. I got you to catch this. He is despised and rejected. Pastor, I feel like God's rejected me. God told me to tell you, and he feel like men are rejecting him. This is so good. He's dealing with rejection. This is so good. I got to give you verse 39. I'm going to put some psychology in my theology. He says, I got to go talk to my daddy. He went a little further than them and bowed down and said to his father, if it's possible, take this cup from me. Remove this cup, look at me, from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. If it's possible, look at me, every campus. All of them walking together, the 11, where Judas, he already went to reject them. Judas left to go play him already, but the other 11 are with him. He said, y'all stay right here. Stay right here. Stay right here. Would y'all pray for me? Just pray. I'm going to go a little further, this far as y'all can go. I got to go talk to my daddy about some straight up kingdom business, but y'all stay here and pray. I'll be back. He went by himself and got on his knees and prayed so profusely until sweat turned into blood. What did he pray, Pastor? Glad you asked. He said, Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Pastor, what else do you see in the text? Not only, this is so critical, everybody, do I see the defection of rejection, but what's amazing in this text is that he can see the projection of rejection. He can project what's going to happen to him. I need y'all to see this. I'm losing the whole crowd. This is so good. I think you can handle the high task of hypostatic union. I really believe you can handsomely handle the high task of learning about hypostatic union. Ooh, I teach preachers this when I'm teaching at colleges, but you can handle this tonight because you're smart. This class can handle this morning. Hypostatic union is when divinity and humanity come together. Hypostatic union is when divinity and humanity fuse together. It only happened in one person ever in eternity. That's Jesus. In Jesus, you have all God and all man. That's called hypostatic union. Because he was all God, he said stuff like, I am the bread of life. But because he was a man, sometime he got hungry. Because he was all God, he told the wounded woman at the well, girl, I can give you some water. You'll never thirst again. But because he was a man, when he was on the cross, he said, I think I'm thirsty. Because he was all God, he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. But because he was a man, he went to sleep sometime. He was all God. Pastor, make your point. The issue with being all God is that he could see the projection prophetically of his rejection. He could see how he was going to die. He could see who was going to hurt him before they hurt him. He could see Calvary's cross. He could see the passion narrative. He could see the spikes going in his hands. Stop saying nails. Nails is cute. It takes a spike to go through your wrist, through the wood, out the wood. It takes a long spike to go through one foot, the other foot, in the wood, out the wood. He could see the crowns of thorns on his head. And ultimately, he could see the rejection of the Father. And he said, Daddy, okay, what if you knew that next Sunday you were going to die on your way to church? Lean on somebody and say, I'm not going to make it next week, Pastor. Go ahead and tell somebody, say, hell to the no. No, not next Sunday. God, no, I ain't coming here. I just have to go to hell. Whatever, I'm not coming here next Sunday, Pastor. Y'all laughing. But I'm serious when I say a survey was done. Would you like to know the day and the way in which you're going to die? And just about everybody said no. It would drive you crazy. Now you see why he's sweating blood. He's God, but he's also man. The God part of him got to die. The man part of him don't want to die like that. So he says to Daddy, is there any way we can get them to heaven without me catching hell? Is there any way? I know that girl done slept with some people. I know that girl done had some miscarriages. I know that brother done been through some women. I know that brother got that porn thing. I know that girl got some mistakes in her life. She been divorced. She done cheated on her husband. He don't even know. He done crept on his wife. They done some stuff. Can I get them to heaven without me catching hell? Is there any way you can get me out of this? He's praying, right? He's praying. Then he got up from praying and went over and checked on the 11, and they was all asleep. He said, hey, oh, we sorry, Mr. J. We sorry. He said, couldn't y'all just pray for me for 1 hour because I'm feeling rejected right now, and I need somebody who I'm connected to just pray with me. You don't have to come over here with me, but have I ever asked y'all for anything? I'm asking y'all, because right now I'm tripping a little bit in my head. I'm God, but I'm also a man. The man part of me need my dudes to pray because I'm feeling by myself right now. So I need a community of faith to connect with me in prayer. So would y'all pray? We sorry, Mr. J, we got your back. We got your back. All right, I'm going to go back up here and talk to my daddy. Y'all pray, okay? He went and prayed. Let this cup, Eli, Eli. He came back. They were asleep again. He's like, hey, oh, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. We're so sorry. We're so sorry. It finally hit me. This is not a fairy tale, this word. Come on, stay with me cognitively, epistemically. Do it with me, because come with me deeper. What's the chances of 11 grown men falling asleep? Even in the army, there's somebody that stays watch. At least one of them would have said, look, y'all go to sleep. I'm going to stay up. If I see him coming, I'll let y'all know. Hey, he coming. All 11? Oh, let's have church. What if I told you that they were divinely drowsy and sovereignly sleep? Now, y'all missed that because didn't nobody shout. Y'all don't know how good that was. In other words, Pastor, make your point. What if I told you that God put them to sleep? What if I told you they couldn't have stayed up if they had smoked crack? Why? Because when God wants you to do something by yourself, he'll make everybody else fall asleep. There's some things you got to do by yourself. And what the Father was saying to the Son is, if you're going to do this, they can't go with you. And some of you need to know that this next place God is taking you to, you may have to go by yourself. Even your spouse may not. Gosh, y'all not a good one. I'm talking to five people on this side that knows that life will put you in a position where all you got is him. How do you know it, Pastor? Because I feel like I got the hottest chick in the game wearing my chain. But there are times when I'm talking to her and it dawns on me, she can't go. I'm talking about my best friend on this earth is Lady Victory Rose Vernon. And every now and then I'm talking to her and it hits me. I call my chief of staff and it hits me, he can't go. I'll talk with the elders and then it dawns on me, I'm going to have to make this one by myself. The girl who would give her life so I could stay alive is asleep right now. I'm up at 4, she's snoring, she can't get up right now, she can't get up. Every now and then, God moves some people. God separated you. God lets you feel the rejection to teach you that ultimately your spouse has their limitations, your job, your money, you're going to have to lean on me. And sometimes what I want you to go through, I got to put everybody else to sleep so you can know, can't nobody. Do you like me? Is there anybody downtown? Y'all not feeling me. I got to go. I'm going to run out of time. I got to go. This is so good. They were divinely drowsy. And so sometime, write this down, not only do we see defection, and not only do we see the prophetic projection, but sometimes there's no protection from rejection. I'm preaching much better on this side of rejection. That's why I got wheels. I'm going to roll out. Y'all not feeling me. Amen. That's why I got wheels on here. If you ain't feeling me, I'll just leave you. Y'all better say something. This is so good. Sometimes there's no protection from rejection. I told all the pastors across the country on a conference call as I trained them, and they all, Dad, I hired this person, man, gave her everything, trained her up in God. She gets trained up. All of a sudden, she dogged me, talked about me, left. Dad, I thought I prayed before I hired her. I said, son, sometime God deletes your discernment. Oh, this is so good. Even though you prayed and said, God, I don't want to date nobody that's not of you. I don't want to hire nobody you don't want me to hire. Give me wisdom on this choice. And you're thinking, I did babe that in prayer. I did wait, and yet I picked wrong again. What if I told you that sometime God divinely deletes your discernment? Because if you knew everybody that was going to hurt you, then wouldn't nobody hurt you? And if don't nobody hurt you, then you cannot become what God has called you to be. Push somebody in the back and say, you had to go through that. Oh, I'm preaching. So it's not because you didn't pray. It's not because you didn't wait. God's not going to let you avoid everybody that's going to. What if every brother that asked you for your number had a sign on top of his head? I'm cuckoo, I'm cuckoo, I'm cuckoo. Of course you wouldn't have had a baby by him. But you didn't see the sign because God let you go through what you had to go through to learn. Every now and then you got to go through stuff to push you and draw you closer to me. darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. Somebody suggested it was midnight at midday. Preach right now. It was midnight at midday. It's 12. I know it gets dark in Cleveland in the wintertime like 4:15. I know that. But 12 noon, somebody suggested that the S-O-N went up. So the S-U-N had to come down because two suns can't shine at the same time.